Todd Thrasher, thank you very much for speaking with Reason TV and for making me a drink today.
You're welcome. Glad to be here.
So we are going to make what cocktail?
It's called Melanie's Pisco Pipe Dream.
This particular cocktail has one crucial ingredient, which is raw egg whites.
Correct.
There's been some controversy over the inclusion of raw egg whites in drinks, particularly at the Pegu Club in New York, where there was a health inspector crackdown. You could just tell me a little bit about why it is that you include raw egg whites in this drink, what function they serve, and why they seem to make people so nervous.
I know exactly where this egg came from. I know when it came out of the chicken. I know the farmer that makes it. I know pretty much what the chicken ate that got there. I know everything about it. I know I got this egg delivered on Monday. They were hatched on Saturday by a farmer named Joel Salentine in Swope, Virginia. I know exactly where eggs come from. I have no reason to be scared of our eggs. That's the first reason. The number two reason is I'm putting so much acid into it, it's going to kill anything that may have happened to it. So that's the reason that I believe there's a scare about it. And up until that happened at Pegu, I had never heard of a scare about it. You know, they want us to mark it on our menu, may contain undercooked ingredients, but we haven't had a problem. That I know of, in American history, no one's ever gotten sick out of drinking a cocktail with an egg in it. Now, they may have been sick because they drank too many cocktails with eggs in it, but not just because of a cocktail with egg in it. So the reason that we do it, it's an old-style cocktail. It's called a fizz, technically, when you use an egg white. It's been around since the 1800s. You know, there's references to Dr. Jerry Thomas's book about using egg whites in cocktails. So it's not a new thing. It's a completely old thing. It's just going back to what bartending was hundreds of years ago. So I added, and the reason it's added is for texture in cocktails, mouthfeel.
You know, a lot of bartenders such as yourself and the guys at the Pegu Club have attracted attention for kind of doing something new, or I guess you might say doing something old again.
Doing it old. Everything comes back in fashion, you know.
Could you talk a little bit about the places where innovation runs up against just uncertainty about what the law permits?
Right. I guess, you know, it started 5 or 6 years ago. I had this harebrained idea to start making bitters, and there were on the market here in Virginia, there were two bitters. There was Angostura and there was Peychaud, and that's it. But like when I would go to other markets, like if I go to New Orleans or New York or things, you'd see all these amazing bottles on the bar, and they had lemon, they had rhubarb, they have all these different flavors. And then, you know, I started looking and I was like, oh, I could buy them. I could buy them online and find them someplace. But then I said, wouldn't it be better if you just make it yourself? So, you know, I went online, thank you, Al Gore, for the internet. You know, I went online and figured out, oh, I can do this myself. So then I just figured out, start making all these different combinations and things. Then I find out, oh, well, it may not be legal to do this because it goes back to the infusing things outside the bottle and putting it back into the bottle. I have a buddy in San Francisco named Naya White who the ABC board came in and dumped all his stuff. They just came in, it was like 2 weeks ago. They just came into the bar, said, are you making these? He said, yes, and they just started dumping everything out. And it's a massive passion and time-consuming thing to make bitters. Just to make bitters, at the bare minimum, it's 30 days, the way I make it. So to this point, I'm not 100% sure what the law is in Virginia. I would like to think I'm not breaking the law. You know, I'm not selling the bitters. I think what I'm doing more is kind of like a chef would cook. You know, people talk about how cool it is to go to the chef's table. This is the original chef's table when you think about it, because everything's done right in front of you.
And that transparency adds an additional element of choice for the consumer. They see what's going on. They can say, well, I'm not comfortable with that. I'm okay with that.
You mean people can be adults and make their own decisions?
I do mean that.
That's
as a
amazing,
matter of
fact. Yeah. Amazing. What a concept.
And that's something that's a big issue, I would think, in your industry in general. You know, adults choosing to imbibe alcoholic beverages on their own terms.
Right. And I mean, you can make the decision. If you don't want the egg, you know, I won't make it a cocktail if you don't want it. The egg, now, will I make this cocktail without the egg? It's not the same cocktail. I can make it for you, and I'll be glad to do it, but you're going to say, oh, this doesn't taste right. Of course not, because it's not the right cocktail. But, yeah, choices can be made. You can choose to drink or not to drink. You can choose to walk across the street or not to do it.
You are operating here in Virginia, and there are some additional complications that come with working in this state, including the state's alcohol control board. Can you talk a little bit about what the challenges are there and how that affects the way you do business?
Yes. Can I shake my cocktail first?
Please do.
Okay. So where were we?
Virginia.
Virginia. I love Virginia. I was born and raised in Virginia, went to elementary school, junior high school, and college in Virginia. I love it. But some of the ABC laws are a bit out of date, and there's laws in the book, and everything has to go through the state, and it's a little bit outdated. This is a prime example. Machu Picchu was not available in the state of Virginia. I had to petition the state, special order it. Then the lady Melanie, who is the maker of it, has to fulfill the special order to the state. She has to send a case to the state, and then I get it. And it was about a six-month process to get it. So it's a little outdated, and it's a little hard to get a hold of stuff, but generally, it's a fair state. And, you know, there's things on the docket now, and I think in the state senate, that there's talk about privatization of ABC stores. So I would kind of be down with that if it would open up more spirits coming through. I mean, you see, we don't have a ton of spirits here just because of the space. But like Eve, our other restaurant, you know, we have lots of space, and I would like to get some really cool stuff. But right now, I can't.
So we're now putting on
pepper? So this is a black pepper and Meyer lemon reduction, which it doesn't have much color, but it does add a lot of flavor to the bottom, or to the cocktail, and it's just going to sit on top. And as it goes through, it's going to add a little bit of black pepper spice to it, and it's going to rest on the bottom a little bit. So the last drop will be a little different in flavor than the first few. You know, it's still an uncertain time with things we're doing. You know, I have cocktails that I use tobacco. I have cocktails that I use wood chips. You know, with innovation, trying to make new cocktails and make interesting cocktails, you know, you wonder if the legality of it, if you start to do things and then someone's going to come back and say, oh, that's not legal, or you can't put that in there, or, you know, it's like the whole Ferran Adrien Abouilly thing. You know, the only way to innovate is to do things, you know, so far out of the box that it becomes the norm, like El Bulli's food did. You know, hopefully the bartending movement's moving that same way, where you can use things that's not just, you know, out of a bottle to make new things, you know, and hopefully, you know, hopefully we're not breaking the law.
The image of, you know, enforcers coming in and pouring out bottles seems very prohibition era. It seems like something we should have left in the past.
Yeah.
So it's surprising to find it today.
It definitely happens today. You know, I kind of joke that this is a speakeasy. You know, we didn't start out to do it as a speakeasy, but I think, you know, the press caught a hold of it, and, you know, then it was a stick and things like that. You know, I'm just waiting for the coppers to bust through any second, and hopefully they come in and say, oh, this is fine. But I'm sure at some point, you know, they're going to come in and want to see it. And I think by dropping the alcohol in the bitters, I think I'm okay. And if the state says, no, you can't do it, then I won't be doing it.
Thank you very much, Todd. Cheers.
Cheers.
Mm. That is really, really good.
You're still alive, too.
And I've lived to tell the tale.